welcome to tonight's program. This is live. I think it's live. Are we live? I think it is. Although we're very distorted right now, so I don't know if we're going to be live or not. Let me see. There we go. That's a little bit better. Thank you very much. Okay. We had... an emergency Friday night, just about an hour and 10 minutes before we were to do the program. Kathy was removing a huge plate glass piece out of the oven, and it slipped out of her hands and fell and hit the granite countertop right behind her as she turned, and it broke into three pieces. I mean, this is a big glass thing. Tempered glass, whatever it was. Anyway, the piece that hit the granite kind of ricocheted and sliced into her wrist, right where that crease is, where your palm of your hand joins your wrist, sliced in there all the way down. What the surgeon that we took her to called a deep tissue cut. Is that what they call it? Full thickness cut. How's that? So I was in the basement in the studio doing some last-minute touch-ups to the program, and I heard this crash, and I hollered up the steps, "You okay?" And she said, "Well, not really." And I went upstairs, and she showed me her wrist. Holy God. So we snatched up Molly and applied an awful lot of pressure with a red towel that was on the counter in the kitchen, applied a lot of pressure and drove the 7 miles to the nearest primary care facility, and went in, got bumped up to the head of the class, and so she wound up with 8 stitches. And for those of you who've had that kind of cut, where you don't have an awful lot of flesh, but you have an awful lot of nerves, I know I've shattered fingertip once when I was splitting firewood for a fireplace, and it's really painful as hell. It's just massively painful. So even though it's not life threatening, it is except for the bleeding. You know, the bleeding can be life threatening. So anyway, and we had Molly in the car, so you know, we flipped in a video for her and got Kathy, and we got home about 3 minutes after Ben Birch had started a rebroadcast program. And we debated whether or not to try to come on live, but then the painkiller that they had given Kathy kicked in. So I was out without a producer. Anyway, all is well now. It's okay. It's healing fine. She got the stitches out in about, now it's about 8-9 days. But just wanted to let you know, we didn't just, you know, oh, let's take a Friday night off. Just a freakish accident. All right? Okay. Now you know. Saturday, while Kathy was kind of recovering from all this, I spent a lot of time watching the funeral service, the church service, the Catholic Mass, funeral Mass, and the burial of Ed Kennedy and or Ted Kennedy, and I have to say it was just it was quite something to see on various levels. I wrote a very quick blog about it at MikeMolloy.com today, so if you want to get my take on it, go there. And the other thing I've realized over the weekend, it's kind of silly for me or any liberal to continue the pursuit of this insanity that is represented by people like Michelle Bachmann and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, Charles Grassley, Michael Steele. These people are real, Sarah Palin, they're really, really lunatics. I don't think there's any doubt left anymore. These people have gotten so far out of their crawl spaces, the wires are broken. And they're laying out there just kind of twitching and screaming stuff that is just absolute nonsense. We're going to play a little bit from Beck's program tonight, but, some cuts and some other stuff. But I've decided, just from my own personal point of view, to stop looking at... We have real threats in this country, but it's not from these morons. We have real threats from corporate America. We have real threats from a military-industrial establishment that is totally out of control. We have threats from a financial services industry that just continues to rip its new body orifices, get bailed out, and get ready, sharpen the knives to do it again, over and over and over again. We have a health insurance crisis that has to be dealt with. But I've just come to the realization, late to the game, you might say, I realize most of you people already have. I've gotten emails, once in a while they dribble in over the past 6 months, like, Malloy, give up on these clowns. Yeah, let's talk about some issues. And I agree. I really do. I have found them morbidly fascinating, especially this Beck character. And like I said before, this guy is heading for a brick wall at 80 miles an hour. If he kills himself on television, I would not be surprised. If he has a complete mental break with reality, I also would not be surprised. If he goes back to the bottle, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, this guy is heading for a smash up. And you can write that down. There are already pools about as to people picking dates as to when this clown will finally, just completely flip out. But you know it's happening. The guy is an absolute lunatic, and there's no reason to continue to pay any attention except for the incredible humor of this. Now, granted, it is dark humor, it is sick humor, but this guy is goddamn nuts. I mean, he really, really, really is crazy. As are all of these people on the flying monkey right. The stuff that they are saying about Obama and an attempt to bring health insurance, affordable health insurance to everybody in this country. What they're saying about the AmeriCorps. What they're saying about, you've seen it all. Barack Obama's national or citizenship. This is madness, and the thing I realized today: the clowns who are doing this in media are not dangerous. They really are not. The politicians who are pushing this stuff probably are dangerous. The only way that a Beck or a Limbaugh or this crazy-eyed Michelle Malkin or the rest of these people are dangerous is that they might trigger a Timothy McVeigh type out there in Nutville to do something horrible. But they themselves are not dangerous. They have become cartoon characters. And, dark, kind of spooky, kind of, who did the Nightmare Before Christmas? Who was that, Kathy? Tim Burton, kind of a Tim Burton character. All of these people have become. We'll continue to play with them, but for you Beck suckers out there, you people who think the sun rises and sets in Beck's ass, do me a favor. Don't send me any more of your stupid ass emails, because I will say bad things about your mama, as some of you have found out when I write back to you. Some of the stuff that I will respond to, I get emails that say, well, this is going to wind up on Twitter and Facebook. Good. But that's exactly what I want you to do, you nutballs. But I will go after your mama. I will go after anything you hold sacred and rip it to pieces. So what I'm saying is stay away. Go away. Go play in some other sandbox. If you want to continue to be eviscerated, I have to tell you, you're way out of your league when you, if you decide to get in a pissing contest with me, you are going to lose. because I was doing insults when you were still a gleam in some drunk sailor's eye. So, flake off, really. Go away. Go away with your nonsense. Glenn Beck and the rest of these guys are absolute caricatures. They are Tim Burton cartoon stick figures, and from henceforth and here on, they will be used on this program for comic relief only. We'll be right back.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit. Well, it's right in every American heart.
voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
No, I'm the voice inside Glenn Beck's head. The ants are coming to eat you. Anyway, from a recent Beck show, is this today or Friday or who knows? But I love the fact that Glenn Beck is such a dumbass. He and cartoon character. He doesn't know how to spell. He doesn't get his facts wrong. Right. He talks about $500 billion that Barack Obama has given AmeriCorps. $500 billion, which puts it right up there with the Pentagon, with the defense establishment. I mean, I'm telling you, like I say, whatever he does to himself, I hope he does it on camera and does it live. Oh my God. Anyway, according to, the crazy man, Obama has given AmeriCorps $500 billion so that AmeriCorps can become Barack Obama's own private mercenary force, like an army, right? Beck compares it to Hitler's SS and Saddam Hussein's Fedayeen. Yeah, so many things wrong with the statement. First, AmeriCorps is not going to receive more funding than the entire Pentagon budget. I don't think, unless this is another trick by Barack Obama. $500 billion, oh my God, and a bunch of clueless, fresh-faced college graduates. Can you see them? Boys and girls. I don't think they're comparable to the SS or, the Republican Guard, or even Blackwater. I mean, you know, what are they going to do? Go straight from Starbucks to handling AK-47s, right? That's what AmeriCorps is going to do, and they get $500 billion! He says that twice in this clip. Can you see this? All the college graduates in their flip-flops and their heavy debt, because nobody can afford to go to college anymore except the uber wealthy. And all of a sudden they come out of college, they go right into AmeriCorps, and very quickly, they put down the lattes and pick up the hand grenades, right? Oh my God, it's coming! You don't think this guy is losing his mind? I want you to hear this. Beck interviews something called a David Bellavia, who claims to be a former Army staff sergeant. And you'll hear him on this clip, in between Beck's, maniacal ravings.
Guys of America. It's going to be under the guise of AmeriCorps, I believe, because that has just received $500 billion in funding. But David, let me go to you. Who is the enemy that we need a national security force
you
inside?
Are.
Who is the? Can you come up with anybody?
When Saddam Hussein lost confidence in his army in 91, when they capitulated, when they quit, when they stopped following his orders, he created and he resupported what was called a Fedayeen, a group of loyalists who weren't loyal to the country or the flag. They were loyal to the office of president and to the man who held that office.
Cuckoo.
And what we're seeing now is a complete disconnect to the warrior class in America, to
Cuckoo.
The military, and to the left. They never had a common denominator. They never had a way to understand
Cuckoo.
Us. So you know what? We don't need you. If we have to enforce, let's say, I don't know, polling laws, we want to keep polling intimidation down in 2012, we'll send in our civilian corps. We want to, I don't know, take away the arms of radical militias in South Texas, bring these guys in. This is scary stuff.
David, what you just said is, you said, I'm not comparing, but, I mean,
Cuckoo.
This is what Hitler did with the SS. He had his own people. He had the brown shirts and then
Cuckoo.
The SS. This is what Saddam Hussein. So they're not sending out, you know, $500 billion worth of paintbrushes to paint people's houses.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the dangerous left. God damn it, we're all over the place, man. We have shivs. We have secret death ray weapons. We're going to get your ass. Crazy Eye Michelle Malkin's new book is something about, and this freak, what's his name, Donahue, who heads up this neo-Nazi Catholic organization, the cover of his book says something about the threat of liberalism. Son of a bitch, where is the threat? And as far as this guy who claims to be, and I doubt if he is, a former Army staff sergeant, just another one of the people out of the stable that Beck uses, his claim that the left, there's a disconnect between the military and the left, what the hell is he talking about? There hasn't been a right-winger in media or government who served in the military in 30 goddamn years. It's all been Democrats and liberals who've gone off and killed the enemy for corporate America. What is this son of a bitch talking about, huh? Who on the right? Dick Cheney, who famously said, I had better things to do in the 60s than get involved with the military. George Bush, who went on a drunken coke binge. I mean, who's he talking about? Glenn Beck? How about Limbaugh, who had a great big boil on his ass? That kept him out of the military. Sean Hannity, who wore girls' panties to go take his physical. That kept him out. Who are they talking about? Nobody. It's fantasy. It's cartoon characters. It's lunacy. We'll have more lunacy when we come back. Stick around.
Pipers in the cab, Staten Island disappeared at noon. And they say the Midwest is in great distress and NASA blew up the moon. The ozone layer has no ozone anymore. And you're gonna leave me for the guy next door. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. They arrested the mayor for an illegal favor. Sold the Empire State to Japan. And Oliver North married William C. Corden. Gave birth to little Tehran. And the Ayatollah bought a nuclear warship. If he dies, he wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human waste dumped in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true. No one here knows what to do. And I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Yeah, Beck is, and all these people on the right have just morphed into the most obscene of cartoon characters. Still funny in a bizarre way, and they continue to get funnier. It's to the point now where Beck is convinced, or he wants his listeners to or viewers to be convinced that Obama somehow found $500 billion, $500 billion, and gave it to AmeriCorps, so that when all these kids get out of college, there'll be a secret army that will do what? Go kill Blackwater. Oh, really? That'll be an interesting event. Or take on the Marine Corps. Yeah, that could work. His delusions are, while they're entertaining, they must be very upsetting for his family. Truly, because somebody who is this far over the hill doesn't, you know, switch it on, switch it off. One more. Beck has been, all last week he spent a lot of time at a chalkboard, telling everybody that, the truth was about to reveal itself. And later, he was at a blackboard and later a whiteboard showing how Obama has this covert word list that demonstrates his secret plan to conquer the universe. I mean, son of a bitch, are you a therapist? Are you a psychiatrist? Are you listening to this? Right? I doubt if you watch Beck, but he tells his listeners that Barack Obama has a secret word list. Ooh, and it's in code, and it's a plan to conquer the universe, or something. I don't know. Listen, and you'll hear the absolute descent into madness that now defines Glenn Beck. Too bad, you know, this is one of the reasons all of his advertisers bailed out. They do not want to run a commercial and have him come back and, you know, pull the trigger on himself. You know, they just don't, they don't want forever, an on-air suicide to be associated with, I don't know what, Geico, the Geico Gecko, you know, no. You know, when these companies spend literally tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars establishing their brand identity, they don't want some freak coming on camera and offing himself because forever, you know, it's forever linked. Or they also do not want to be linked to the ramblings of a madman, no matter how humorous it might be. So you'll hear this clip You can't see his misspellings. You can Google the video if you want to. It's on YouTube. Beck must have grabbed one of George Bush's dyslexic dictionaries. Or worse, he's just slipped over into the Jim Jones syndrome and he's out of his goddamn mind. He can't spell the very word he claims is the centerpiece of Obama's evil secret plan. Yeah, what is it? Oligarchy. He can't even spell it. Oh my God. And that is so funny. Obama as Dr. Evil. Yeah, that'll work. Next, Beck will claim Obama has developed a special laser beam that freezes the water in its victims' bodies so they die instantly. Oh, wait a minute. That's supposed to be part of his health care plan. Never mind. So Beck is through the looking glass for real. He's down there with the Mad Hatter and the hookah-smoking caterpillar and the Cheshire Cat and the rest of them. The wheel is spinning, but the hamster's dead.
I told you that we were going to talk about these things. We were going to talk about Obama, the left, Coo-coo. Internationalists, graft, Acorn-style organizations, revolution and hidden agenda. O-L-I-G-A-R-H.
Spells nothing.
One letter is missing. Why did I select these words? Because Acorn.
Because you're nuts?
Tides. They all select their words first, and then tie them all together into one word. Oligarch.
Yeah.
The one that's missing is why.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we're turning into an oligarchy or what we're turning into, but unless you ask why, we're going to transform into something.
A spider?
Ask questions. Now, the second part of this. A few months ago, I told you, you got to know you're not alone. You got to know. You got to unite. Talk to people.
Ew.
I'm tired of being a sheep. Ooh. I am tired of being a victim. I'm tired of being pushed around. Well, you know what?
What?
The gloves come off.
Oh!
Tomorrow, I will give you a plan. I will tell you exactly the place to go, the way you can save your republic.
Your local gas station? The place you can go. Fox News Channel.
It's going to be like a phone booth in Manhattan where everyone's supposed to meet and get their little Orphan Annie decoder rings so that when they watch Obama talk, they can spin him around.
Oh, my God. Well, so much for the Beck segment tonight. We will continue to do Beck segments, but right up and until we do his obituary. But we'll play that one again later, the one where he's frantically trying to explain to his thousands upon thousands of viewers that the truth has been revealed to him, and it's all encoding, decoding rings and special word groupings and little creatures that scamper across the stage when nobody's looking.
We're not alone.
You know. So we'll play it again. I keep waiting for a galumpher to show up on stage and bite him. What's a galumpher? Oh, that's a character I made up for Molly storytelling that lives out near the base of the mountain where the fairies live up on the mountain in the forest. And the galumpher lives down on the bottom waiting in case any fairy drifts, you know, too far away. The galumpher will try to catch the... Never mind. It's, you know, you have to be 5 years old to appreciate it. Or Glenn Beck. Leaving the absurd and going to the completely rational, there is a, and this is real. This was, in the Telegraph of the UK. There's a group, run by, it's a group of atheists, and they've put something together called, Eternal Earthbound Pets. That's their website, eternal-earthbound-pets.com. And it's billed as the next best thing to pet salvation in a post-rapture world. And the website says the following. You've committed your life to Jesus. You know you're saved. But when the rapture comes, what's to become of your loving pets who are left behind? Eternal Earthbound Pets takes that burden off your mind. We are a group of dedicated animal lovers and atheists. Each Eternal Earthbound Pet representative is a confirmed atheist, and as such, will still be here on Earth after you've received your reward. Our network of animal activists are committed to step in when you step up to Jesus. We are currently active in 20 states and growing. Our representatives have been screened to ensure that they are atheists, they are animal lovers, they are moral and ethical with no criminal backgrounds. They do have the ability and the desire to rescue your pet and the means to retrieve them and ensure their care for your pet's natural life. We currently cover the following states. And then it lists 20 states. And we're growing. Our service is plain and simple. Our fee structure is reasonable. For $110, we will guarantee that should the rapture occur within 10 years of receipt of payment, one pet per residence will be saved. Each additional pet at your residence will be saved for an additional $15. A small price to pay for your peace of mind and the health and safety of your four-legged friends. Unfortunately, this time, we are not equipped to accommodate all species and must limit our service to dogs, cats, birds, rabbits, and small caged animals. Thank you for your interest in eternal earthbound pets. We hope that we can provide you with peace of mind. Spending a lot of time looking at... Oh, wait a minute. That's something else. Okay. Now, that's at their website, the Telegraph of the UK. Said that a group of atheists in the U.S. have come up with a solution to the rapture people. You know, what are they going to do about their dogs and cats when they all float? You know, their clothes fall off and they float up to heaven. The business idea is an attempt to cash in, I have to say, on the belief widespread among certain, you know, Christians that the pious will be carried up to heaven by God in a sudden swoop. Leaving unbelievers to endure the 7-year reign of the Antichrist on Earth, which is either Barack Obama or the now dead Ted Kennedy. One of the two was the Antichrist. Well, I guess it's not Ted Kennedy, right? According to some polls, as many as 55% of Americans believe in the notion of the rapture. Anyway, the whole thing sounds far-fetched, even a little provocative, but this group insists it is not joking. Like I mentioned, it has a network of atheists spread across 20 states to ensure speedy local animal care whenever the rapture occurs. And it's got a PayPal account to take subscriptions. I mean, why don't we think of this, Kathy? Why did we not come up with, you know how much money is going to slam into that PayPal account? Oh, my goodness. Huh? Why didn't we think of this? The founders also assure the rapture-ready believers that all pets will live in loving homes, not in animal shelters or so-called pet mills. And while the company promises that, you know, all of its caregivers are atheists and moral and no criminal records, the company stresses that they are not too saintly. The website also says, quote, each of our representatives has stated to us in writing that they are atheists, do not believe in God or Jesus, and that they have blasphemed in accordance with Mark 3:29, negating any chance of salvation. So there you have it. I just wish I would have thought about this. We'll be back after the break.
Humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. In one of the diaries over at Daily Kos, it's Dems 2004. There are three videos that you should see. It's the Obama firing squads for babies. No, that's not funny, Kathy. This is a Randall Terry thing. It's As the diarist says, it comes from Right Wing Watch. I guess you can see it at rightwingwatch.com.org. Brings us one of the most disgusting, revolting depictions I can remember, but sometimes I lose track of all the vitriol, the diarist writes. I put this here not for sensationalistic reasons, but to show more people who it is that we're fighting. It is not a fight of our making, but it is a fight, and we will win, as the saying goes. We know what to do about this, right? Call, complain. This is someone's fantasy, and it's dangerous. By way of Randall Terry, the nuttiest of the kill you so I can save a baby theory of debate nutcases, I welcome you to Obama's firing squad for babies. Warning, disturbing. It may not be safe, you know, to look at work. But then there's three videos here. They run about, I don't know, about a minute and a half each. And the diarist writes, is there any doubts about the mental state of these people? This is only on video, but the rest of the country's wackos will see this and get an idea. These are an eye blast, and more of them popped up as suggestions to watch. It's really getting to be too much to follow. So you can go to Right Wing Watch and check this out, or Daily Kos. The diarist is Dems 2004. Astonishing stuff. I was just looking at it during the break here. Thanks to who sent this. Oh, well, somebody sent it. Thank you for sending it. Astonishing. I got an email during the break, too, from Steve in North Aurora, Illinois. Subject line, I am a therapist, and I think Beck is mentally ill. Mike, I did contact Fox News, informed them that I'm a mental health professional, licensed clinical professional counselor, and I thought they should remove him from the air because I felt they were exploiting Beck because of his mental illness. I told him it is unethical to keep him on the air. I bet they gave you a... just a wonderful reply, right, Steve? Or are you still waiting? Mary Cheney, another nutcase. Mary Cheney is a lesbian. She's had a partner for 17 years named Heather Poe, and she and Heather have a 2-year-old son. At one time, Mary Cheney was the gay outreach director for Coors Brewing Company. In order to try to snag up the gay and lesbian beer drinkers, right? Well, she's given a $1,000 donation to a Republican Senate hopeful who voted against same-sex marriage and voted against allowing gay couples to adopt children in the District of Columbia. The donation is to former Representative Rob Portman, a Republican of Ohio. It was made a couple months ago in May. Portman is seeking the Senate seat that will be vacated by George Voinovich when he retires in 2011. Now, as Raw Story reports, Cheney's donation is remarkable considering her public comments on same-sex marriage and gay adoption. In 2004, she reportedly considered quitting her father's reelection campaign after George W. Bush endorsed a federal marriage law banning gay marriage. And in 2007, she went after televangelist James Dobson for comments criticizing gay couples' adoption. Cheney said, quote, every piece of remotely responsible research that has been done in the last 20 years has shown there's no difference between children raised by same-sex parents and children raised by opposite-sex parents. What matters is being raised in a stable, loving environment. She went on to say, when Heather and I decided to have a baby, I knew it wasn't going to be the most popular decision. This is a baby. This is a blessing from God. It's not a political statement. It's not a prop to be used in a debate on either side of a political issue. It's my child, end quote. Now, as an Ohio congressman, this Portman freak voted yes on banning gay adoptions in the District of Columbia in 1999. He also voted in favor of a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage back in 2004. His opposition to same-sex marriage is particularly salient because both of his potential Democratic challengers favor its legalization. I think it's just a clear indication that these right-wing psychopaths are trying to do one thing, especially where it concerns gay marriage or gay adoption or gay parents or gay anything. What they're trying to do, these right-wing politicians who are two-faced and hypocritical about it, is to encourage other people to promote this kind of bigotry, knowing full well that there will be another Matthew Shepard case. There will be other cases where, especially in school now, it's getting down to the elementary, to the primary school level, where kids who inadvertently are beginning to demonstrate maybe gender confusion, or if not gender confusion, just becoming aware, especially when they pass through adolescence, let's say in early high school, and to become aware that they're gay. I can remember 1,000 years ago when I was in high school, we had several kids in our class who were gay, and everybody knew it, and they knew it, and I don't know, we probably made smarmy remarks to them occasionally, but they were our friends, and they hung out with us and did things with us. But it's getting to the point now where teenagers, young teenagers, are being encouraged by their sick Christian parents to be belligerent and mean and hateful and bullying to kids who are not completely settled into their gender, or who might be questioning the gender, or who might be considering whether or not they are more interested in a same-sex relationship or an opposite-sex relationship. So this is really vicious stuff. And then you have somebody like Mary Cheney, who has had the same partner for 17 years, but you know, can't get married unless she goes to 1 of 5 states. You have her sick goddamn father, who is the favorite of people on the flying monkey right, who would take Mary Cheney and her partner and her baby and put them up against a wall and shoot them. It's just unbelievable to me. This is madness. But then again, we currently live in an asylum.
Felix.
Seven past the hour. We are certainly surrounded by some right wing insanity. I think it's a clear indication just how nuts the country has become, that these people exist outside of a Mad Magazine issue or something. From RP in Pasadena, writes, Mike, the other day I received an email from Gary, we'll call him, that included the following quote. This is what Gary wrote. The government moving into the health insurance business will kill some of you. The lucky ones will survive with poorly treated chronic ailments. If the socialists have their way, either make sure you stay very, very healthy or have enough money to make a medical tour to South Africa, South America, or South Asia, end quote. No, he didn't say South Africa. He said South America or South Asia, end quote. And RP writes, grateful for Gary's concern, I replied thus. Gary, my wife, a 25-year member of CalPERS, the California Public Employees Retirement System, has Blue Cross Blue Shield health insurance. Here in California, her health insurance plan is widely recognized as one of the best, if not the best, plans available. I do not take part in her plan because I have VA, Veterans Administration, Health Service. Here's a brief list of what the government has forced me to endure. I've never filled out any forms after the initial registration. I pay no premiums. I've never waited more than 20 minutes for anything. I've had physicals, exams, and studies done at no cost to me. I've had glasses sent to my home at no cost to me. I've had prescriptions sent to my home at no cost to me. I have access to clinics, hospitals, and emergency rooms all over the world. I have health care that will never be canceled, never be denied, has no pre-existing restrictions, and will be provided to me for the rest of my life. Note, I have received medical care that would have cost me thousands, even with health insurance. Last year, I had a medical device fail. The VA sent out a new replacement worth several thousand dollars by Overnight Express at no cost to me. I paid no deductible, filled out no forms, paid no shipping or handling, and received a follow-up call the next afternoon to make sure my device had arrived. My wife, on the other hand, is paying steep premiums for coverage that is ever-changing. Every appointment, every service, every test, every procedure, prescription, or consultation results in an out-of-pocket expense. Our mailbox is filled with bills, copays, and statements warning her that her allotment of benefits for the year about to top out, and she has to decide every year which plan to select out of a confusing array. Quite simply, my wife has health insurance. I have health service. Mine is better. So yes, my friend Gary, I am using government-run socialized health care. You should be so lucky. Cheers, RP in Pasadena. I love that. I love that. Thanks. Thanks for writing, RP. Barack Obama's former physician got into the healthcare reform debate on the eve of the August congressional recess. Dr. David Shiner, he doesn't endorse the public-private hybrids favored by his patient of 22 years or various congressional committees. According to The Nation, nor did he join the insurance industry-inspired mobs ranting against socialized medicine. Rather, Dr. Shiner and 3,500 physicians and medical students urged the president to embrace a national single-payer healthcare system. Dr. Shiner said, quote, there are multiple problems with the present congressional health reform proposals, but allowing private insurance to continue being involved is the most egregious. The insurance companies actually like many of the proposed reforms, including the requirement that every American purchase insurance or suffer a tax penalty, which would be a windfall to the insurance industry. That alone should be a warning, end quote. Now, despite that warning, as you're aware, proposals for a genuinely public Medicare for All plan has gotten very short shrift to the point that Dr. Shiner asks, quote, is the single payer message so dangerous that it cannot even be discussed by Congress and the administration? End quote. As it happens, so-called Medicare for All may be discussed this fall. According to The Nation, to ensure progressive votes for the House Energy and Commerce Committee's compromise plan, Henry Waxman and Nancy Pelosi, or Henry Waxman got Nancy Pelosi to allow a full House vote on a single-payer plan, and Dennis Kucinich got the House Education Labor Committee to amend its plan to allow states to experiment with universal public plans. However, don't expect Congress to produce a single-payer system in the near term. But keeping single payer in the mix tips the balance in the right direction. Increasingly, the prospect that reforms that are adopted have a robust public option. So the point, of course, is, you know, I've heard a lot of talk about Obama's preacher and Obama's hairdresser and Obama's pedicurist and Obama's burper and Obama's food taster. But this part about Obama's former physician, Dr. David Shiner, who is very much in favor of the single-payer plan, as are thousands of doctors in this country. We already have it for selected groups. Why not have it for everybody? Oh, and by the way, as a little postscript to the we're going to take care of your pet when you rapture up to heaven. I didn't read the terms and conditions page. But Bridget did, and she said, this is my favorite. Here's what it says. If subscriber, that would be the person who's going to be raptured, if subscriber loses his or her faith and or the rapture occurs and the subscriber is not raptured, in other words, is left behind, the company disclaims any liability. No refund will be tendered. Gotta like that part, too. Oh, my God, these people are going to get rich. Huckabee, this crazy bastard, they just keep pouring out of the woodwork like huge fat termites who have just been eating at the foundation of this country, eating at the wood and the timbers and the just devouring with their minds the very substance of this country. Now it's former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. He said that Kennedy would have been urged to die earlier than he did under what is referred to now as Obamacare. He suggested on his radio show last Thursday that under Obama's health care plan, Kennedy would have been told to, quote, go home, take pain pills, and die, end quote, during the last year of his life. Here's the quote. It was President Obama himself. This is Huckabee. It was President Obama himself who suggested that seniors who don't have as long to live might want to consider just taking a pain pill instead of getting an expensive operation to cure them. Yet when Senator Kennedy was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer at 77, did he give up on life and go home to take pain pills and die? Well, actually, he kind of did, you dumbass. Of course not, Huckabee goes on. He freely did what most of us would do. He chose an expensive operation and painful follow-up treatments. He saw his work as vitally important, so he fought for every minute he could stay on this earth doing it. He would be a very fortunate man if his heroic last few months were what future generations remember him most for, end quote. As it happens, according to Sam Stein at Huffington Post, Huckabee made his remarks shortly after he derided Democrats for using Kennedy's death to make the pitch that Congress has to hurry up and pass the health care reform bill and do it in his memory. Huckabee said at the time, not only defies good taste, it defies logic. Yeah, but you hypocritical Christian dumbass, are you going to tell me that you're going to say that about the Democrats, and yet you can turn around and use Kennedy's death and twist it just grotesquely out of shape into something that fits your sick agenda? These people are insane. They're just absolutely mad. But they are entertaining.
From the moment you wake and leave the house in the morning, the terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So to your backseat from bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, raids on Iraq and the
raids. Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, 21 past the hour. I've got something coming up. Uncle Mike's Story Corner come up after the next break that if I were exclusively on Sirius or XM, I could read this thing the way it was sent to me. I tried to count the times the F-bomb was used in this, but lost count, or the times the BS bomb was used in it, or the time. Oh, it's incredibly good. So I'm going to attempt to read it on the air. Putting in the appropriate bleeps and stuff. If one gets through, I'll count on Kathy to hit the dump button. But it's a real rant. You think what I do on this program is a rant at times? Wait till I share this with you. It was posted by Prophet 451 and sent to me by Doug, and you're going to love this. We'll make that tonight's edition of Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Ah! K, initial K, writes in, Mike, I'm not a psychologist, but I've seen this type of behavior before, talking about the Glenn Beck Glenn Beck Slide. My sister-in-law wrote a manifesto in an alien language that she assured us was dictated to her by, you guessed it, an alien intelligence that only she could see or hear. She was obsessed with this manifesto, which was, quote, the key to world peace and harmony, end quote. Of course, she was the only person on earth who could read or understand it. When my brother took her to see a doctor, the doctor asked her to describe her experience, which she was more than happy to do, and even went so far as to write out part of her manifesto on the paper cover of an examination table. The doctor shot her up with Thorazine and committed her for psychiatric evaluation, where she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, also known as manic depression. Although my brother has stuck by her, it has destroyed their family. It's very sad. And right now, Beck seems to be in the manic stage. Hopefully, he will get help before he flips to the depression stage. Signed, K. Initial K. That's a very humane and charitable point of view to take, K. And I certainly respect you for it. I can't do that, though. You know, when you say you hope he gets help before he flips, I hope he avoids help. I hope he flips. Because he has done so much damage. He is such a destructive force. And if he gets help, it's just going to stabilize him to the point where he can go on his diabolical rants from a slightly different perspective. People this evil, like Dick Cheney, like Glenn Beck, there's a whole list of them who are so evil, so willing to rip this country apart for sport. So willing, like Jim Jones was, you know, with his crazed followers. All these people, like L. Ron Hubbard, people like that who are so willing to make asses of the rest of humanity just for sport. And in the process, cause other people to lose their minds or to lose their sense of self or to lose their connectedness to the rest of the world. When I say lose their sense of self, I mean in the sense of using that sense of self to connect, to rejoin. These pigs don't do that. They try to destroy those bonds between people. They try to destroy the social fabric. They try to destroy anything that is in their sights, on their scope, simply because they can, because it's fun, because it's sport. So I appreciate your caring point of view that you hope Glenn Beck gets help before he flips to the depression stage. And I understand that compassion. I've had mental illness in my family, too. I know a lot of people say, well, you're crazy. You're in a goddamn loon. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But I've had real I've had family members. I had an uncle who was just absolutely, totally, completely schizophrenic with delusions. He was a lawyer until he went mad. I've had a couple other relatives that way. Whereas suicide runs in Beck's family, madness runs in mine. But Beck is insane. There is no question he's insane. And while I understand the horrible situation that a madman or a madwoman, and I use that term advisedly, the horrible pressure and destruction that can be brought to a family that's trying to cope with that, and do appreciate the people who try to support the person who is, you know, really dancing around on the edge of the universe, where it concerns people who would destroy the country for sport, I say to hell with them. I have absolutely no compassion. I'm not a very enlightened being when it comes to that. I'm still crawling around in the muck because I don't, whereas I don't believe necessarily in the opposites of good and evil as inherent flows that cruise through the universe or whatever, I do believe that there are people who are so destructive. And do so willingly, with no malice. They just do it because it's fun. That I can't find any compassion for them. I just absolutely can't. I don't take that overview of, hey, we're all God's children. I'm sorry. I don't believe that at all. All right. When we come back, Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Hope you're going to come back too. A single center line and the brutal crossing over when it's time. Ooh.
his toughies will be withered up and bent. Father, son, the holy warriors and the president. With glory days of put up dukes for all the world to see.
Hey, truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
Yeah. All right, it is about 25 before the hour. All right, we are going to do another episode of Uncle Mike's Story Corner. It is time once again for another episode of Uncle Mike's Story Corner, sent to us tonight by Doug and posted by Prophet 451. Now, tonight, Uncle Mike's Story Corner is a little rough in the language department. So don't be too upset. It might be a good idea to get, you know, the kids under the age of four away from the radio. Beyond four, they've heard all these words. It starts out thus. Dear Republicans, F you. No, I'm not joking. I'm sick of this bull blank. I'm sick of the way you've corrupted the public discourse, so we have made it acceptable to hurl any insult you like at public officials. The way you blame us for the current atmosphere of hatred by accusing us of starting it with hating Bush. Like Bush didn't come on the heels of 8 years of your tireless effort to destroy Clinton by any means necessary. Like Bush didn't give us good reason to complain. A couple of posters on a website compared Bush to Hitler, and you've used it as free license to compare Obama to Hitler 24/7. And I'm sick of your hypocrisy. Where it's acceptable to say blank about Obama that you would have had an apoplectic fit and did if anything remotely similar had been said about your guy. Keith Olbermann calls Cheney a fascist when he was actually using fascist tactics. And you think that gives you the freedom to call Obama a fascist, a socialist, a Marxist constantly for no reason at all. F you and your bull blank false equivalency. I'm sick of the way you've made the populace stupid. Around a fifth of your population thinks the sun orbits the earth. Over half think evolution ever happened. Your populace actually believes the media has a liberal bias, not because it has. You have the most conservative media in the free world, but because you've shouted it so long and so often that you've brainwashed a segment of the public into believing it, like the battered wife who parrots her husband's insults. You've got a whole segment of the population shouting about socialism and fascism, and none of them know what the F the words mean. You've convinced them that fascism is a left-wing thing. You've got them so turned around that some of them actually believe global warming isn't happening. F you! I'm sick of the way you try to destroy the whole concept of government. You've tricked the people into believing that government can't do anything right, always being careful to exclude the army because you love your bullets and bombs, but you've so destroyed the public's ability to reason that they don't even think of interstate highways, the space program, the national parks program, on and on and on. Government is always great when it's doing what you tell it and inevitably corrupt when it isn't. F you. I'm sick of your rewriting of history. You've bleated so long and loud that Reagan was a great president, that the New Deal didn't work, that cutting taxes increases revenues, that you actually have the people believing this bull blank. And these are the same people who will go on to become teachers and fill their students' heads with this same bull blank. Reagan was a mediocre president at best who had the good fortune to be in power when the USSR collapsed under its own weight, and you bastards have turned him into the second coming. You've rewritten history so that everything foul and hateful and wrong can be attributed to a Democrat while everything worthwhile is a Republican's glory. F you. I'm sick of your dragging the center even further to the right. How many whack job fringe ideas have you dragged into the mainstream? The aforementioned idea that tax cuts increase revenues, the Laffer curve, the idea that welfare harms the poor, the idea that there's rampant fraud in welfare, the idea that whatever is good for corporations is good for the country. and you push these ideas through your corporate media, and you do it so long and loud that they become part of the accepted political landscape, and because it's easier to tell a lie than to debunk one, we never get away from this rancid stuff. F you. I'm sick of your casual criminality. Teddy Kennedy, a man whose boots you were not worthy to lick, was just buried, and all I've heard from my right-wing friends for days is Chappaquiddick, Chappaquiddick, Chappaquiddick. Your effing golden boy raped the Constitution mainly because he wanted to, tortured people, essentially because he wanted to, spent like a drunken sailor because he wanted to, invaded a sovereign nation, essentially for the loot, destroyed people's lives, essentially for the, because he wanted to, and you bastards are obsessed with an effing accident a Democrat had decades ago. You don't go on about Laura Bush killing some guy decades ago. F you. I'm sick of hearing you praising pure evil. You're letting Dick Cheney be the standard bearer for Republicanism. Dick Cheney, a man so nakedly evil that even his friends call him Darth. A man so callous that Lex Luthor would recoil in terror. A man who probably has dismembered hitchhikers in those man-sized safes and kills plants by his mere proximity. F you. I'm sick of your attempts to tilt the playing field permanently in your favor. Democrats filibustered a few of Bush's most hateful judicial picks, and you blanks start screaming about doing away with the filibuster now that you're in the minority. And you filibustered absolutely everything you can and whining when you don't get the chance. You ignored everything the Democrats had to say when you had power, and now you don't. And now you don't. You scream that everyone must be bipartisan. You don't budge an effing inch on anything, but you insist that everyone must compromise to meet you. That's your idea of politics. Don't move an inch. Force the other guy to come to the right to meet you and call the result a compromise. F you. I'm sick of your corporatism. You dress it up in false populism, but anyone with half a brain can see that you're the bought and paid for. You're the subsidiary of big business. You keep pushing tax cuts as the answer for absolutely everything. You keep sabotaging every attempt to control the excesses of big business. You genuinely think the world would be a better place if it was a combination so-and-so's dystopian vision of a corporate-dominated world and Ayn Rand's BS, objectivism. Yet another entry in mankind's endless attempts to find a moral justification for naked greed. You've taken the clinically insane spewings of a woman literally to the right of Hitler and the 1984-like vision of a dystopian author and convinced yourselves that would be a good place to live. Big business is the enemy of the people, always has been. The ideal for the corporate class is to have a small pool of people rich enough to buy their effing crap and a much larger pool of people so poor and with so few options that they can be used and abused at the corporation's whim. A corporation's objective is not to look after you. It's to make ever larger profits by any means necessary. You bastards want to reinstate effing slavery to the corporate class, and you've made the public so effing stupid that they actually swallow the bull blank you're serving up. They actually want to enslave themselves to the corporations that abuse them at every turn. They actually care more about the corporation's right to make obscene profits than they care about their child's right to live on a habitable planet. F you. F you, you scum-ridden blank blanks. You make me sick. Just F off and die.
Woo! Yeah! Uncle Mike's Story Corner. My goodness, it set the hot chocolate boiling and the blankets on fire.
Yeah!
Uncle Mike's Story Corner brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Written by Prophet 451 and sent to us by Doug. Thanks, Doug, and thanks to the Prophet. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. A Missouri school district is banning T-shirts for acknowledging evolution. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Here we go again. It says here, T-shirts worn by members of the Smith Cotton High School band. Right? Have been recalled by the school district because they contained images of evolution. The T-shirts featured an image of a monkey holding a brass instrument and then progressing through various stages of evolution until eventually becoming a human. Well, let me interrupt for a second. That is not an image of evolution. That is some some freakish simplification that somehow got into the collective consciousness 100 years ago. That's not what evolution is about, but I digress.
Sherry Melby, a band parent who teaches in the district, said, "I was disappointed with the image on the shirt. I don't think evolution should be associated with our school."
Why would that be, Sherry? Is it too sciencey? That's very true. Why should a school be someplace where a kid is supposed to go to learn science? Right? The assistant superintendent, Brad Pollitt, explained that the T-shirts were banned because they were imposing on religious views. Whose religious views? He said, though the shirts didn't violate the school's dress code, Mr. Pollitt noted that the district is required by law to remain neutral on religion. Hey, dumbass. Evolution is not religion. It's science. Pollitt said, quote, "If the shirts had said brass resurrections and had a picture of Jesus on the cross, we would have done the same thing," end quote. Hey, dumbass superintendent. Again, evolution is science, not religion. Can you get that? No, of course not. Jonathan Turley, noted law professor, says, quote, "Evolution is not a religious issue. Extremists want to make evolution into a religious question, but it's not."
Right now, Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, I have in front of me our latest report from Prairie 2, our economics correspondent. The subject line tonight is "Fascists Still Hold a Grudge." Prairie 2 writes, "China has been buying 50% of commercial vehicles currently produced worldwide. Not to miss an opportunity, General Motors will spend $300 million of your tax dollars for a 50% interest in a light truck factory in China. It's not practical to export U.S.-built trucks to China since they have high import tariffs. No fools, the Chinese. $300 million sounds like a lot of money, but the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation spent $416 million to clean up three more banks Friday. This was a bargain compared to the previous week when they spent $3.3 billion on four banks, plus $1.3 billion listed on the report as uninsured that somebody had to eat, and this doesn't count stockholders that lose 100%. There are now 420 banks on the FDIC list of likely failures, but the real list is now at about 1,800. Exceeding the 1,500 institutions that failed during the Republican savings and loan scandal of the 80s and 90s. Bank failures are expected to really pick up in the fall as commercial loans start to be written off. But the really big surge will come next year as the $1 trillion in toxic assets will start to be accounted for. Technically, the FDIC doesn't use tax dollars, but since the reserves came from banks that just passed it along to customers, who are they kidding? It isn't assessed to bank executives or Republicans like it should be. The FDIC reserves are just about gone, and the money will start coming from the Treasury Department by the truckload. Congress has allocated $500 billion for the FDIC to use, which is almost equal to the AmeriCorps budget. Oh, Prairie 2 is funny. Here is a bit of history. FDR's CCC boys were taken from starvation on the streets, were made fit, became accustomed to discipline and to working outside. After December 7th, they went straight into the infantry. Fascists like Beck still hold a grudge against FDR for winning that war. Prairie2.com. Go to his website, prairienumeral2.com. That is Bruce Enberg, our economic affairs correspondent. Richard in Portland writes, greetings, Mike, Kathy, and staff. Well, I hope the staff is listening. They're scattered all over the country. From Richard in Portland, Oregon. I thought that I would read The Grapes of Wrath again. I hadn't read it since I was in high school, but thought there was something familiar about today and remembered that book. I wonder if it's still required reading in today's English classes. I have a feeling that it may have been banned. The parallels with what we are see happening in our country in the present are astounding. People losing their homes, losing their jobs, taking any work well below their qualifications, massive unemployment, the efforts to divide society, and creating the other to hate. All of this is foreshadowed in Steinbeck's book. The economic royalists, as FDR said, are doing the same things today as they did then. They're trying to make this country into a nation of serfs and hoarders. It might be beneficial for all of us to read that book again. Richard, Portland. I just saw the movie a couple of weeks ago again. The one with, who is it? Who has the lead in that? The Wonderful Life guy. Jimmy Stewart, yeah. Isn't Stewart? Stewart plays the part of Tom Joad. Huh? Was it? Oh, no, it's Henry Fonda. That's right. Thank you. I thought it was Jimmy Stewart, Henry Fonda. They're the same. Do you ever see them in the same room together at the same time? No. Ken, in her Hermit, California, sent me a very quickie. It says, swine flu cases are blossoming at the Air Force Academy. Isn't this one of the places the Christians took over? Yeah, it is. Oh, my. Katha Pollitt at The Nation, in an article about healthcare we can believe in, said the following. Listening to the radio earlier this summer, I heard a 59-year-old nurse named Robin Baton testify in the most heartrending way before the House Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, chaired by Representative Bart Stupak. When she developed invasive breast cancer, her insurance company, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, rescinded her coverage because of a pre-existing condition, dermatitis, even though her dermatologist called to say it was acne, not, as the company claimed, a precancerous condition. Stupak confronted the heads of Assurant Health, United Health, and WellPoint with the fact that there are some 1,400 conditions that can be used to cancel a policy, most of them so minor and obscure that the executives had never heard of them. Between 2003 and 2007, the three companies saved $300 million by rescinding at least 19,776 policies. By the time Robin Baton finally got her surgery, her tumor had doubled in size. The congressmen were shocked. They had no idea. Neither did I. The program? The American Life. I love Ira Glass, who is the host. But come on, people. Rescission should be a word on the tip of everyone's tongue by now. Yeah, it just doesn't stop, does it? Stories like that, and the right-wing demagogues are convincing people. They are convincing people who are going to die of breast cancer, prostate cancer, bladder cancer. They're convincing these people to vote against a system that, if in place, might save their lives, and if not save their lives, extend their health. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malone. back 7 past the hour on the Malloy program. By the way, immediately following us on the web, you get to hear Bob Kincaid's Head on Radio Network program. Stick around for that. And I got an email from Jude in Seattle that says his program has the audio of Huckabee on Obamacare that we were talking about earlier this evening. As you know, when you hear Bob Kincaid's program after mine on this web stream, it is a program he did earlier in the evening, but the one that will pop up tonight is one that he did Friday. So if you want to hear some really crazy stuff, I don't mean Bob, I mean the audio that he'll be playing, stick around. Bob Kincaid, Head on Radio Network. Immediately after us, web streamed, so stick around for that. Dick Cheney is also going insane. I think he's finally worried that they're coming to arrest his ass and put him on trial for war crimes. And as a result of that, he is now opening his mouth again and again and again. Now he went on, where else, Fox News, and heavily criticized the Obama administration's decision to investigate the abuse of prisoners held by the CIA. And he, without being asked, delivered a forceful defense of the torture used by these intelligence renegades. And the reason he's putting on defense, of course, is, you know, if the testimony's ever does come out, if the investigation is handled properly, if it does work its way up the chain of command, of course, it will be a matter of record what we already know, that these orders came directly from Dick Cheney, and he will be implicated as a war criminal under the rules set down by the United States of America and its allies at Nuremberg, by the rules set down when we agreed to the Geneva Conventions on the Conduct of War, by the rules set down when we signed treaties and agreements regarding the treatment of prisoners. Dick Cheney is a war criminal. Dick Cheney, like Henry Kissinger, needs to be tried, and if found guilty, dealt with to the extent that the law says he should be dealt with. Most civilized nations no longer have the death penalty. We have it, but we are not civilized. So Dick Cheney could possibly, if he were tried in another country, escape hanging or a firing squad. But he would go to prison for the rest of his life, which probably wouldn't be very long once he got into prison. But I think he's starting to feel the hot breath of justice on his neck. He had said, quote, I knew about the waterboarding, not specifically in any one particular case, but as a general policy that we had approved. And the fact of the matter, if you will, is the Justice Department reviewed all those allegations several years ago.
Yeah,
that's right, Dick. They did. The Justice Department, handpicked by your thugs, a Justice Department that did everything in its power to deny justice, to shred justice, to treat justice as just so much dirt under your feet, you son of a bitch. So for you to sit there and say, oh, yeah, well, that's already been looked at. The judgment was made then that there wasn't anything that was improper or illegal.
Well, that's right, Dick. What were the people that you picked to go in there and subvert the Constitution and the rule of law? What were they going to do? Disagree with you? What would you do then? Shoot them in the face? Cheney also said he supported officers who, I love this sentence, this is from the New York Times, he supported officers who strayed outside Justice Department rules and used unauthorized interrogation techniques, saying that they did so to keep America safe. There are a lot of people in this country who believe that torturing people, setting up a wave of pure, bloodless hatred against the United States into the foreseeable future, that somehow that keeps us safe. There are mad people in this country, insane people, people who believe that, well, you know what they believe. People who believe in the rapture, people who believe in talking snakes and, a boat big enough to hold everything. Don't even go there. But anyway, Cheney is, I love that statement. I knew about waterboarding, not specifically in any one particular case. You lying son of a bitch. You know, he's got probably four or five criminal defense attorneys who are working with him now. It appears that his statements, as he goes on Fox News and around to these fascist radio programs, it appears his statements are spontaneous and right to the heart of the matter. And come from the mouth of a man who knows that what he did was just and right and proper. And that's exactly the reverse of what is going on. Cheney has surrounded himself with criminal attorneys. You can tell by his answers, especially one like that. I knew about the waterboarding, not specifically in any one particular case. That is courtroom speak. That is defense language. That is what you set up. Because you know your ass is going to be indicted. You know that you're going to go. You know that somewhere along the line, one of these people who will be asked questions by the Justice Department will tell the truth and will say, yeah, the order came from Dick Cheney. The order came from Dick Cheney on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. The order came from Dick Cheney. And they'll go right down the list. So what Cheney is doing now is setting up his defense. Remember, the best defense, good offense, yada, yada, yada. He's setting up his defense now so that he can say, that was explained on Fox News back on August 30th. I said, yes, I was aware of it. But as I said then, it's a matter of record now, public record. I had no specific knowledge of any particular case. So we can move on, if you will. I've got things to do and people to kill today, so hurry up. Cheney said that the judgment was made when there wasn't anything that was improper or illegal. You know, about torture. The fact of the matter is the Justice Department reviewed all those allegations several years ago.
Yeah, I love it when they say that. When anybody in the Bush crime family, any of these flying monkeys, these degenerate sons of bitches, when they refer to their crime,
well, that happened years ago. you know, ask Henry Kissinger if you string something out long enough, hell, Kissinger is responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of Americans in Vietnam. But if you will, you know, if you stretch things out long enough, you can escape the hangman's noose, if you will. A little humor there. I'm certainly not expecting the hangman's noose. Not in this lifetime. Oh, no.
Cheney describes this inquiry into criminal activity by him and the other monsters who destroyed this country as a intense, his words,
it's an intensely partisan, politicized look back at the prior administration, and it's only intended to placate the left wing of the Democratic Party. I mean, it's clearly a political move. There's no other rationale for why they're doing this, end quote.
You see, and that makes sense to somebody like Dick Cheney, because Cheney does not believe in the rule of law. Cheney is a believes in the rule of the mob. As long as he's at the head of the mob, as long as he can direct the mob, Cheney is of the same mindset as Jim Jones or L. Ron Hubbard or Adolf Hitler or Pol Pot. You know, I will tell you what to do, and you will do it. And if the result of my telling you what to do is the construction of a mob of crazy people roaming through the streets or through your mind doing utter destruction, so be it, as long as the sons of bitches don't turn on me, right, Dick? Holder said that he had no choice. Attorney General Eric Holder said he had no choice but to go ahead with this after the Justice Department's ethics office recommended a review of several interrogation cases. So, you know, for Cheney to lay it off on Holder or even Barack Obama is a clear indication that Dick Cheney knows that the guillotine is moving a little bit closer to him. Not literally, because as much death as he's responsible for, he'll never suffer the penalty that he brought to millions of people. And that is their untimely deaths because they happen to be in this monstrous son of a bitch's way. Cheney will never experience that, of course. But he doesn't want to go to jail, and he doesn't want his reputation sullied. His reputation is secure with the base of crazy people that make up the Republican Party. And I think Cheney's afraid that if the truth were to out, that even some of them might start gnawing on their own feet and wailing, "Why did you do it, Dick?"
Just
Renegade Talk Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Regarding Cheney's feeling the hot breath of justice on his mechanical neck, as the New York Times says, they get it right about half the time. Obama administration officials denied yesterday that the inquiry was politically motivated. Well, duh. One administration official who spoke on condition of anonymity said the attorney general, quote, makes decisions with independence from the White House based on the facts and the law, end quote. Well, isn't that unusual? We have another turncoat. Well, not another turncoat, but someone who remains a turncoat, remains a dino, remains somebody who wants to impede justice. And, of course, that's Dianne Feinstein. The California senator, who's the chairwoman of the Intelligence Committee, she said she remained ambivalent about the wisdom of this inquiry. Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's what she said. She was on Face the Nation on CBS, and she said she had read the full Inspector General's report and, quote, I was horrified, so I understand the Attorney General's reaction, end quote, the Attorney General's reaction. Mm-hmm. But when she was on Face the Nation, she warned that, quote, the timing of this is not very good. End quote. When would be a good time, Dianne? Huh? When would be a good time to investigate criminal activity, 8 years of criminal activity by the most corrupt, filthy criminal administration ever to steal elective office in this country? When would that be, Dianne? She said that her committee was nearing completion of a bipartisan study, my ass, of interrogation and detention practices, and that it should have been allowed to complete its work before a decision was made about an investigation. Really? Again, why? Why, Dianne? What? You can't do your work independent of the Attorney General? You're in the legislative branch, sweetie. He's in the executive branch. Is there a problem there? Huh? John Kerry was on this week on ABC. He said, quote, I think the president himself has been unbelievably bending in the direction of trying to be careful about what happens to national security, protecting our national security interests, being very sensitive about the CIA's prerogatives and needs and so forth. And John McCain, who was on Face the Nation on CBS, defended Eric Holder's authority to call for an investigation. This is very tricky here. He defends Holder's authority to call for an investigation, but he said Sunday that it was a mistake that might harm agency morale and effectiveness. Agency morale and effectiveness, what does that mean? The CIA is a terror organization. It is the premier terror organization on Earth. How do you affect the morale? By investigating the criminals who carried out criminal policy by the criminal Bush administration. What the hell are you talking about, McCain? When you're talking about the CIA, if you're a rational human being, you start from the premise, the full and certain understanding based on its history that it is a global terror organization, the worst in the history of the human race, based on its history. And then you worry about its effectiveness? Effectiveness to do what? But I digress. McCain challenged Cheney's argument that the CIA's use of torture had provided critical life-saving intelligence. McCain said that such techniques violated the Geneva Convention on Torture, damaged United States relations with allies, and substantially aided al-Qaeda with its recruitment. Well, be careful, John. Be careful. You know, having said that, how can you hold in your addled brain the same thought that to investigate would be a mistake? That would harm agency morale. Are you out of your... Oh, never mind. Almost said, McCain, are you out of your mind? McCain went on to say that he thinks what Cheney ordered harmed our image in the world. But then he added, quote, but for us to go back, I think, would be a serious mistake, end quote. Really? It would be a serious mistake to examine criminal activity conducted at the highest levels of the United States government
And the difference this time, it was done pretty much openly. The criminal activity of various administrations in the history of this country are known across the world, not necessarily here, because if we were to know, we would all stick our thumbs in our mouths and start screaming and crying and kicking our feet. Because all of a sudden, the tales of mom and apple pie and the American flag would be rendered meaningless, if not obscene. So, what to do, what to do, what to do. You know what I think? I'm getting to this point. Call me a cynic. Call me a turncoat. Call me whatever you want. I think it's, I think Obama ought to just give it up, let it go. Because even if all the chips were to fall where they should fall, and Bush and Cheney were indicted for crimes against humanity and war crimes, and probably 50 or 60 people in that corrupt administration, even if that were to happen, the reaction by the crazy people in this country, and there are millions of them, would be a kind of violence that we haven't seen since the Civil War. And the corporations who engineer all this would just sit back on their asses laughing, because they know that when the bombs finished dropping on each other and the flame throwers went silent, they would still survive and start doing what they like to do, and that is running a feudal state with serfs and, you know, kings and princes. So it might be a good idea, Mr. President, to just say, ah, screw it. Let's all go swimming.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's do some phone calls here. Lee is in Yonkala, Oregon. Is that right?
Right.
Welcome to the program, Lee.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Well, I was watching the ABC.com news feed on the internet of the Kennedy funeral, and he's in the funeral, and they're having commentators. There was a woman from ABC,
right?
And after one of the grandchildren spoke, and just talking about his grandfather's life, and said something about he cared for health, you know, coverage or stuff. And the ABC commentator then said, "Well, that Kennedy, he really knows how to work a room." He's dead. He's in a coffin.
Yeah.
He's in a Catholic funeral mass inside of a church.
Yeah.
And she said that, "I've never heard anything so filthy in my life." And I haven't heard anybody mention this all through the day on any radio station.
I didn't watch ABC's coverage. I watched the entire weekend, but I watched NBC and CNN.
Well, and I don't know if this was on TV. I don't have a TV. And they kept saying this is the ABC.com coverage, the reporters.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this was on TV. But it was the live video feed. You know, it was on for a couple hours.
It probably was. It probably was the feed from their television transmission. But I'm not surprised at all that those kinds of statements are made. The right wing in this country, and I'm sure this was some right wing lunatic who was brought on the program to offer, you know, balance, since we have such a liberal media in this country. You know, statements like that from these people are no longer surprising to me. And I don't think really deep down inside, Lee, you're surprised either. I mean, this is what they do. They're vampires. They're bastards. They're sons of bitches that hate this country. They hate anybody in this country who has ever done anything decent for other people, in the same manner that Christ ordered his followers to do these things, or I should say Jesus. Well, to the Christians, he is the Christ. So, you know, when you hear those
those snotty, smarmy right-wing remarks, the best thing to do certainly is to take note and ignore it. Or if you're in the immediate vicinity of some freak who's saying it, just to toss their Christ right in their face and say, hey, isn't this what your Jesus boy said? What about this? Huh? What about this? And they usually will just shudder and shut up because, you know, or fall down as though they're smitten because they're, or have been smited because you're using that kind of language about their Lord and Savior. Thanks, Lee. I appreciate it. Although they crap on their Lord and Savior every time they open their mouths with statements like that. It's amazing to me to watch these so-called Christians who are so vile, so filthy, and so willing to re-crucify their baby Jesus over and over and over and over again. But they re-crucify him for their own personal reasons. It's kind of sick to watch. It would be infuriating if I were a Christian, a follower of Christ. And there are followers of Christ who are no more Christian than they are men in the moon. They are truly followers of Christ, and good on them. They're following a philosophy of peace and justice, love and redemption. You know, good for them. But these people making these statements, these people who show up like floaters in a toilet bowl on television constantly, they're not Christian. They claim to be, but they're not. They're something. They're crazy people. They're dominionists. They're followers of the Book of Revelation, but they're certainly not Christian. And I know I can make a comment like that because I was brought up in the faith and I know what it is. Angus is calling from Phoenix. Hi, Angus.
Mike, how you doing? Big fan. I got my mom for a birthday present last year, your podcast, so she loves listening to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that. Thanks,
Angus. She's a huge, huge fan. Yeah, she loves, she starts her day listening to your podcast from the previous day. But
gets her blood pressure going and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good, good.
Coffee.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, just don't do it with coffee.
Yeah. But I was telling Kathy, because I know you were just talking about this terror probe with the Justice Department with Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And have you heard anything as to the Barksdale missing nuke incident? Have they tracked those weapons down?
I've not. And here's the problem I'm having. Unless I'm confusing two stories, Angus, I know that there was a flight across the United States that involved six or five armed nuclear bombs that should have been disarmed before they were flown. That's one story. The other story is that there are missing nuclear bombs. It may be part and parcel of the same story, and I'm not sure. Maybe you can tell me if I got two stories here or if it's all one.
Well, I think I think I'm talking like what you just said. I think it's two missing, and that you can find out more about it if anybody ever follows Webster Tarpley's writings, the Synthetic Terror book was a very good book about it. But the long and short of it is that Cheney, of course, was in the middle of all of that, was in charge of, most of the goings on for 9/11 and all the other secret operations vis-a-vis Blackwater and everything else. But the long and short of it is that Blackwater, according to that book, had quite a bit of involvement in shuttling those nukes into God knows where.
Blackwater did?
Yeah, so he's been using the Blackwater infrastructure to help hide these weapons. And now that he's coming under, like you said, the hot breath of the Justice Department, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons, like you say, they're just going to suddenly...
You know what you're doing here. You're just terrifying the hell out of me, Angus. Eric Prince and Blackwater, they are dedicated to the proposition that they have got to start a nuclear holocaust in order to please their Jesus. Dick Cheney, who is not a believer, not really. He's probably as much of an atheist as I am, although he keeps up a facade of being a Christian, I guess, to satisfy his rabid base. But Cheney is the type who would unleash a nuclear weapon because he can.
Well, and to avoid justice.
Well, that's true, too. Right. That would be the cover. Well, you can't bring me to trial because the nuclear bomb just went off in Pakistan. obviously delivered by Blackwater. I'm just about as nervous about all this stuff as it's possible to be. Because these people are without boundaries. The religious crazies in this country, the religious crazies in the Muslim countries, I'm talking about crazy Christians and crazy Muslims, and then you have leaders on both sides who are equally insane, who have taken their respective religions and done with them what religion is most effective at doing, and that's demonizing the other and ordering them all dead and cast into hell. So it's a hell of a place to be between these two crazed factions. On the one hand, Dick Cheney. On the other hand, whatever spook is running, the Muslim terrorists. So, you know, just keep your head down and watch out. Right, Angus?
Thanks. You bet.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. It is frightening. You know, the combination of fascism and Christianity is only goes one direction. Look at Germany. God, poor Germany. Poor Germany. Always being used as the example, right? Always being used. My. Fascism and Christianity equals death for millions, hundreds of millions. And I think it always has, fascism in one form or another. Hitler's not the only fascist. The German people in the 20s and 30s are not the only state to ever willingly go into a fascist form of government. It might not have been called fascism. It might have been called serfdom or feudalism or, whatever it was called. Or not serfdom, feudalism or whatever it was called. Fascism has a long and bloody history. And I think the establishment of the church, the Roman church, guaranteed that fascism would remain alive and well and sucking oxygen and eating human life and devouring souls and deciding, making all the decisions about who would be raptured and who would go into the bowels of demon-tainted hell. They've been doing it for two millennia, and will continue to do it until, until Denis Diderot's prediction or wish or hope comes true, and that is the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest. Won't that be a great getting-up morning, truth seekers? Yeah, it would be. All right, we'll take a break and come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. And drag us down the road to heaven.
That's safe in a land that's clean and free for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna be vision.
Thanks to our crew tonight, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kay Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and our executive producer, Kathy Bay. Oh, by the way, you heard the caller reference Webster Tarpley's book, Synthetic Terror, 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in the USA. You can get this book free. All you have to do is make a donation at tvnewslies.org, tvnewslies.org. I think an $18 donation will get you the book free. So go to their website if you're interested, tvnewslies.org. Where are we? We're right here. Joe is in Van Nuys, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
First time caller, long time listener.
Well, welcome aboard.
All right. Yep. August madness. Lunacy. You know, I was thinking, you know, that Glenn Beck thing?
Yeah.
Maybe you should do this countdown to madness, you know? As long as you're going to make a kind of funny out of it, you know? Because it is kind of sicky, you know?
Well, it is on the one hand. On the other hand, it's mental illness and getting very, very serious here, you know. I certainly don't need to tell you because you sound like a rational person. Mental illness is never funny.
Oh. Well, but, you know, it's another thing I wanted to say. It's like maybe you should have like a, you know, a set of psychiatrists or psychologists like on call so you can like debunk madness, you know?
Well,
these
but
crazies call in, you know? You can have them call in later and then we can all have a
But you can do that. I can do that. Most of the people listening to this program can do that. You just hear the insanity. You hear this stuff. And while it might be a little bit frightening when you think that these people have these huge megaphones, it's also extremely bizarrely comedic, funny in a real sick kind of twisted way.
Yeah, but if you have a professional psychiatrist, take them apart piece by piece, you know, to explain the madness that is, that has become. What is this world?
Well, occasionally we get an email from a mental health worker or a phone call.
I know. Those are really great.
Yeah.
You should have more.
I wish we did. If this program had a budget like Glenn Beck has, we could have psychiatrists on at least once a month.
I mean, there's got to be some fans out there that would.
And that just proves, and that the fact that we don't have the budget for that just proves that Glenn Beck is a real America, and I'm nothing but a stinking commie.
Oh, dude, if you lived in California and you had a pool, I'd be doing your pool for free. There should be some psychiatrist, psychologist that knows you. Be like, I'll call in there and debunk these guys.
Do you do pools?
Yeah, that's my business.
Oh, really?
I sell water filters too.
Oh my God! So you're in the swimming. How's business been?
It's sloping off, but you know how it is with pools. You know, if you don't take care of them, they get green, and then you get mosquitoes. And
well, where is Van Nuys in the path of these firestorms that are eating Southern California alive?
We're in the valley. We're safe from the firestorms, but. Yeah, the way they're moving and stuff, I don't think they'll make it to the valley.
Aren't you getting the smoke and the stench? Aren't you getting
that? Yeah, it's only just begun.
Oh, really?
Like the first weekend, and they said 2 weeks of this before they'll even try to contain it.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
just wildfire for 2 weeks, so yeah, that's smoked out.
That's what I heard, that this is a monster fire, and it's only about 5% contained right now. Well, listen, be careful. Take care of yourself, and thanks for checking in, Joe. I appreciate it. I wish we did have the budget to have have somebody on to talk about these crazy people. We'll just have to make do. John is in Los Angeles listening on KTLK. John, are you anywhere near the fires and flames?
Yeah, I'm up in Sunland. Yeah, I'm kind of close to it.
Really? Are you getting worried?
I get all the soot smell for half the day in the mornings, and where you can't go out properly.
Yeah,
it was all the fallout, and it's only going to get worse, like the last caller did say.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have the floods to worry about with all the vegetation gone in the mountains.
Yeah, it's why do people stay in the Golden State? I mean, what's the point any longer? You know.
I was born here, so you know.
Oh.
Maybe I have a choice to leave, but
you've got roots. You know. I understand you got roots, but that's not why you called. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. A couple weeks ago, I read in the L.A. Times newspaper a little buried blurb about how they an Afghan corrupt contractor was renditioned to this country, And it just made me wonder how much changing the
right.
the war and enlarging the war on terror is becoming under the current administration.
Yeah, I think I read the same, not in the L.A. Times, but picked up on the web or else picked up by other newspapers. I think I read the same case. The Obama administration has apparently reserved to itself the right to rendition people, only their lie is that they are going to have oversight on these prisoners when they're sent to Syria or Egypt or wherever it is they're to be sent. And of course, that begs immediately the question, well, if that's the case, why send them anywhere? If we're going to have oversight on how they're treated and the questions that are asked and how the answers are accepted, then why not keep them under our control where we can make sure that they're not tortured? This is more garbage. And this is a part of the Obama administration, one of the parts of the Obama administration that really has people like me incredibly angry, upset, and feeling betrayed.
I'm sort of like you in that respect, and I wish that the listeners don't think that I'm being an Obama basher.
No.
Understanding that just because Bush was so bad,
right,
and because he was a white guy, mm-hmm, who was a Christo fascist.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think anybody gets the impression, anybody with a brain gets the impression that when we criticize Obama policies, especially these, that is somehow Obama bashing. It's not. John, I got to leave it there, man. We're out of time. Thanks for checking in. I'll see y'all tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.